offering humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai welcoming you to this week's episode of Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam, a series in which we study the 1990 summer course discourses which Swami delivered. We've completed 13 discourses in that series. We completed the 13th one, the last clip, the last week. We are starting a new discourse this week. To join me in the discussion about what Swami said last week and in what Swami is going to be telling in this discourse, I invite my brother Sai Prakash. Sai Ram, Sai Prakash.
Sai Ram Prem. Indeed, it has been an amazing discourse last week and earlier weeks which we were dealing with. That is, what is true freedom?
Right.
And our whole idea and concept of freedom was redefined. What is freedom, rather? Not even what is true freedom. What is freedom is the title of the chapter.
Right. I think apparently before Swami delivered that discourse, there was a debate which was held as part of the summer course.
Okay.
Where they had some of the elderly teachers and senior faculty discussing about freedom.
Okay.
So that, I think, led to that discourse.
Wonderful.
But so beautifully Swami arranged in a sense, the different states one goes through from being a good citizen and where duties bind you and do not give you freedom, but still you can live a happy life.
Correct.
We spoke about Swami's life itself, where apparently there was no freedom, but Swami was leading something which we cannot relate to.
Correct.
Putting ourselves in that place.
Correct. And yes, Swami touched on various topics in that discourse. But something very, very beautiful towards the end where he spoke about himself.
Right.
And he said how and why he behaves in the way he does. And he says, when I speak to somebody, and who has the right to ask me why I am not speaking to so and so?
Right.
But nobody has the right to ask me. But I still do it only for their good. And very beautifully Swami says, if I am speaking to somebody and you do not value my word, then I avoid speaking to him because I value my words. That was so beautiful. And in a way, it's a lesson for us to value what we speak.
An elderly devotee whom we were talking to, he narrated once that Swami had given this analogy. He said, a man has a common cold,
okay,
which doesn't seem to spare him. Even after a week or so. So a friend happens to notice it and he says that, I know a very good doctor. I'll take you to him. And I think one course of medicine from him will do you a lot of good. So takes him to this private nursing home which belongs to this doctor. And they go in and they find the doctor is not in his seat. So he tells this friend that, you wait here. This doctor must have gone for rounds. I'll go around and see if I can fetch him. So the friend goes away and this man is sitting in the office. So he just gets up and goes around the wards. And there he finds the man is almost lying upside down. That's what Swami says. That, you know, his leg is suspended and his there's bandage all over his head. And he sees that and he's very shocked. And he goes up to the nurse and he says, what happened to this man? And, you know, Swami beautifully says, I don't know exactly what Swami said, but Swami puts it in a way, no, this chap came here and the doctor has done this to him. In Telugu, Swami said very beautifully, essentially saying that he came to him and the doctor just put him in the bed like this. And he goes around, he sees another patient almost in a similar state. And again, he feels that, oh God, this is what the doctor does. And then he thinks that, what if the doctor does this to me also? And he goes away without telling even his friend who brought him. And then Swami says, see, for the cold which he had, he would have got only a pill or two. You come in and you don't see the context and you just observe something without noticing what is the background.
Correct.
And you come to conclusions. Swami said, that's what people do with me also. They come, they see what is happening with one or two devotees. Somebody says that Swami has never spoken to me, I'm sitting here for so many months. And someone says, no, I came to Swami and this is what happened in my business. Don't draw conclusions from seeing people like that. What is necessary for you, I will do it for you.
Correct.
You have faith in the doctor.
Very true. And in many cases, when Swami has advised his students with so much of love, and when, even devotees, and if they take it lightly and if they don't give it its due importance and value, life teaches them that what Swami had told, if they had just stuck to it, they would have been better off.
Right.
So I believe that is what is the meaning of giving value to His word.
Right.
So in fact, I think I mentioned it earlier on the show as well, but I was asking one of our teachers, sir, what is it? I mean, is it that a person who has got 100 interviews, is he happier than a person who has got just one or two interviews, or a person whom Swami has just spoken to once or twice?
Mm-hmm.
So sir said, that's not the point. He said, how much value you give to Swami's word and how central it is to your life is what matters actually. He says, he just casually pointed out to some of the old ladies, you know, who sit there in the mandir, and he says, these people are real devotees. Somewhere in their early 20s or 30s, Swami would have come to their dream and said, leave everything and come here, I will look after you. And from that day, they are here. And no matter what inconveniences they have to face, they are always focused on Swami. They say, Swami is compassionate towards us. He has always been so loving towards us. And he says, because they valued that one word of Bhagwan so much. So he says, where are people whom Swami has given hundreds and hundreds of interviews? There are people whom Swami has given so many interviews. Okay, if they are following Swami and they are still in the line, that is fine. But there are many who have left Bhagwan as well. I mean, we have to face it. But so he says, it's not, yes, of course, Swami speaks to you more and more. That is very good. But how much value you give to that word, that's what finally matters.
Right. And I'm reminded of what happened to one of our seniors.
Mm-hmm.
This boy desperately wanted to stay back after his studies and work in the ashram,
mm-hmm,
and spend his life here. But Swami was very clear that that was not the path for him.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami very strictly told him, no, you have to go back,
okay,
and serve your parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a tussle which was going on for months.
Mm-hmm.
Swami was trying to convince him and he was not relenting and he, mm-hmm, was pleading with Swami. And it was a very long, drawn battle, if you could call it so.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually Swami convinced him and said, no, nothing doing, you have to go.
Mm-hmm.
But he managed to extract a promise from Swami.
Okay.
He said, Swami, every time I come, mm-hmm, you should call me for an interview and talk to me.
Wow.
Okay? If you promise that you will do that, then I'll go.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami said, okay, I'll, mm-hmm, speak to you whenever you come.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you come, I'll speak to you. And it happened for many years,
mm-hmm,
that he would come back. At, mm-hmm, least once Swami would call him inside the interview room and speak to him and send him.
Wow.
Mm. I think sometime in 2002 or 3,
mm,
he had come.
Mm.
He had taken a week off or 5 days or something. He, mm, came and Swami did not call him for an interview.
Mm.
And his leave expired. Mm. He went on waiting.
Mm.
A few months passed.
Oh.
And people over here were wondering what is happening to his job.
Mm.
And apparently one of the juniors went up to him and said, brother, what about your job?
Mm.
Because he was working in one of the reputed banks in a city.
Mm.
Won't you lose your job?
Mm.
And what that boy said was, you know, very profound. He said, see, I can always find another job.
Mm.
I can always make the money. But today, if I do not give importance to the word which I'm expecting from Swami,
mm,
I will repent for it all my life.
Correct.
I should not give up this chance. I should not show Swami that,
mm,
I do not value your words.
Mm.
So he said, waited for nearly 3 months,
mm,
and after that finally Swami called him for an interview,
mm,
and spoke to him.
Mm.
And of course there's another beautiful story along with it.
Mm-hmm.
In the interview room, Swami suddenly told him that your parents are coming.
Okay.
They've just landed in the bus stand.
Oh.
And apparently it happened to be his parents' 60th anniversary, the Shashti Purti.
Wow.
And he had no clue about it because, mm, he was not talking with his, mm, parents. He was not,
mm,
because he said that unless Swami relieves me by giving me an interview, I'm not coming.
Mm.
So the next day Swami calls the whole family, performs the Shashti Purti.
Mm.
And eventually this boy calls up his,
mm,
boss, mm, to tell him that, yes, I'm coming finally.
Mm.
Swami has spoken to me and I'm coming back.
Mm.
And his boss, he was expecting the boss will tell him that you can, mm, come and pick up your relieving orders. But to his surprise, his boss tells him, we are all waiting for you,
mm,
because you've got a promotion.
Wow.
And when Swami says, you know, Swami would often say that there is that coconut tree and that, mm, the shadow of the coconut tree, you,
mm,
climb the real coconut tree, you will also climb the shadow coconut tree.
That's right. Mm.
And again, that's, mm, the thing. Those, mm, people who gave value to Swami's words, who from their point, from their side,
mm,
said that this is very important to me, mm, compared to anything else in life.
Very true. Very true. I mean, That's what is the whole idea of giving value to his words. And there was a similar, not exactly a similar incident, but an incident where Swami sent one of his students from here to Mumbai for a particular job, for a particular work. And Swami said, Swami was so happy when he came back. He said, that boy went to Mumbai, his parents live in Mumbai, but he didn't have any digression from what I told. He went, did this work and came back. So Swami actually had it announced, and Swami said, see, I'm so happy with this. So I mean, following Swami's word to the T is what is.
And towards the end of that discourse, Swami again, in many parts of that discourse, Swami spoke about Hridayam, the real heart, the spiritual center of any person. And towards the end, he says that beautiful statement, you know, very resounding statement, where Swami says, that is the truth, that is the Atma, that is the Hridayam, that is me.
That is me. Really beautiful. And one of the other discourses also, Swami was continuously saying, I am not this, I am not a Brahmin, I am not a Kshatriya, I am not a Shudra, I am not a Vaishya, I am not this, I am not that. So many things. Then, I am not God, he said. I am wondering, then Swami, who are you? He says, Nenu Nene, I am I. That's it. So that was, I think, in a way, what Swami spoke in the previous discourse. Now we are going on to the 14th discourse, that is practice and precept. I think we are slowly going from Shravanam to Mananam to Nididhyasanam.
Yes, it's saying that is enough of Mananam you have done and Shravanam, and right now it's time for
time action. Time to practice and stand up to it. I don't know what Swami is going to bring around in this discourse. Of course, I have read the discourse, but we hold a suspense for the listeners. But Swami always harped on this, that there is no point in chanting the Bhagavad Gita shlokas, in a reverse order or 1 to 700, 700 to 1, unless you practice it. There is no...
Right. I'm reminded of a short story which Swami said when I was in my first year undergraduation. I mean, just about this, Swami has told this many times, this Chinnakatha, about Vinoba Bhave. He says that Vinoba Bhave was a scholar. He had read the Bhagavad Gita completely and all that. And one day a beggar comes to the door. And a healthy looking beggar. So his mother goes out to feed him, give some food. So that time Vinoba Bhave comes and says, no, mother, what are you doing? You know, see, he's not following his dharma and you're helping him not follow his dharma. You are helping him in his laziness, which is not right. And he quotes some verse from the Bhagavad Gita and he says, no, each one has to do their duty, and what you're doing is wrong. So his mother says, so is that so? Does the Bhagavad Gita say that? I didn't know all this. See, my mother had told me that you should see Lord Vishnu in everybody who comes to your doorstep. And I'm following it from my childhood. So I cannot turn away Vishnu who comes to my doorstep. You know, that strikes Vinoba Bhave like a thunderbolt, and he says, here I am, who's going into the commentary of each verse of Bhagavad Gita, but here is my mother who has not read even one verse, but she has already internalized the essence of Bhagavad Gita.
Amazing. Swami would always say, follow, practice, put it into practice. So I think we can go to the first clip.
Right, let's see what Swami has to say in this discourse.
Astiram jivano loke Astiram jivano loke Astiram yavanam dhanam Astiram Dhara putradi Dharma kirti dvayam stiram Astiram jivanam loke Astiram yavanam dhanam Astiram dhara putradi dharma kirti dvayam stiram yemita koni vache yemita koni povu ఏమితా కొని వచ్చే ఏమితా కొనిపోయే పుట్టునప్పుడు తాను గిట్టునప్పుడు ధనము ఎచ్చటికేగు తానే గుణచటికి ధనము ఎచ్చటికేగు తానే గుణచటికి చెప్పరయ్యా నీరే చిత్తమొప్పునట్లు చెప్పరయ్య మీరే చిత్తమొప్పునట్లు ఏమిటా కొనిపోయే ఏమిటా కొని వచ్చే పుట్టునప్పుడు తాను గిట్టునప్పుడు ధనము ఎచ్చటికేగు తానే గుణచటికి చెప్పరయ్య మీరే చిత్తమొప్పునటులా చెప్పరయ్యా మీరే చిత్తమొప్పునటులా విద్యార్థులారా విద్యార్థినీయులారా
డియర్ స్టూడెంట్స్ boys and girls
astiram jivanam loke
manavu jeevinchinatvanti ee lokamu sthiramainadi kaadu
the world in which we live is transitory it is not permanent
astiram yavanam thanam
యవ్వనం అన్నటువంటిది మధ్యలో వచ్చి మధ్యలో పోయేటువంటిది మాత్రమే
యూత్ ఈజ్ దట్ విచ్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ ద మిడిల్ అండ్ డిసపియర్స్
ఇదికి దీనికి ప్రారంభము అంత్యము అన్నటువంటిది లేదు
దెర్ ఈజ్ నో బిగినింగ్ ఫర్ దిస్ నార్ ఎండ్
ఇట్టి మిడిమాలకు యవ్వనమును చూచి మిడిసిపోవటం ఇది విద్యావంతుల యొక్క తత్వము కాదు
ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ప్రాపర్ ఫర్ ది ఎడ్యుకేటెడ్ వన్స్ టు టేక్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ ప్రైడ్ ఇన్ దిస్ ట్రాన్సియంట్ యూత్
ధనమా ఇది కూడా నువ్వు స్థిరమైనటువంటిది కాదు
ఈవెన్ వెల్త్ ఈజ్ నాట్ స్టడీ ఇన్ దట్ సెన్స్
ఇది కేవలం కదిలిపోయే మేఘముల వంటిది
ఇట్ ఈస్ లైక్ ఎ పాసింగ్ క్లౌడ్
ఏనాటికి కూడాను అది మనం ఉద్ధారం గావించినటువంటిది కాదు
ఈవెన్ ది యూత్ ఆల్సో ఈజ్ నాట్ లైక్ దాట్
ఇక అస్థిరం ధారాపుత్రాదులు
ధారాపుత్రాదులు వీరు కూడాను కేవలము మధ్యలో ఆవరించి మధ్యలో విడిపోయేటువంటి వారి
వైఫ్ అండ్ చిల్డ్రన్ అండ్ ఫ్యామిలీ లైఫ్ ఇట్ కమ్స్ అక్కర్స్ ఇన్ ద మిడిల్ అండ్ డిసప్పియర్స్ ఇన్ ద మిడిల్ అలోన్
పెళ్లికి పూర్వము భార్య ఎవరు భర్త ఎవరు
బిఫోర్ మ్యారేజ్ హూ ఈజ్ వైఫ్ అండ్ హూ ఈజ్ హస్బెండ్
తెలియదు
నో
మధ్యలో వచ్చి మధ్యలోనే ఒకరికొకరు వియోగం సంభవిస్తుంటారు
The relationship develops in the middle and it gets disintegrated also in the middle.
Biddalu kudanu ante.
Children also are like that.
Puttaku puram thalli evaru bidda evaru.
Before birth, who is father and who is child?
Puttina tarvatane ee vidhamainatundi okka sambandha bandhavyamulu kaligi untuntai.
The relationship occurs only after the birth takes place.
Ivi anni kudanu asthiramule.
All these are transient.
Dharma kirti dvayam sthiram.
Sthiramainatundi emiti? Dharmamu kirti. Ivi rendiye మానవులకు స్థిరమైనటువంటి యొక్క పదార్థములు.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ ది రైచియస్నెస్ అండ్ ది గుడ్ నేమ్ విచ్ ఆర్ పర్మనెంట్ అండ్ స్టడీ.
ఈ దృశ్యకల్పితమైనటువంటి జగత్ అంతయి కూడాను, చరాచర ప్రపంచమంతయి కూడాను, వస్తువులు కూడాను కేవలము కాలవాహినిలో కలిసిపోతుంటాయి.
దిస్ ఎంటైర్ క్రియేటెడ్ వరల్డ్ మూవింగ్ అండ్ అన్మూవింగ్ గెట్స్ మర్జ్డ్ ఇన్ ది ఫ్లో ఆఫ్ టైమ్.
యద్ దృశ్యం తన్నస్య. ఏది మనకు కనిపించుతున్నదో అది కేవలము కొంతకాలంలోనే మనకు మరుగైపోతుంటాయి.
వాట్ యు సీ నౌ is not going to last long, it disappears before long.
ee charma chichulaku gocharamayyetundi ee drishya kalpita jagat antayi kudanu kala garbhamulo kalisi potundadi.
The entire created world which is visible to the physical eye gets merged into the time.
Chuche netramu chudabade vishyamu rendu kudanu అనిత్యములే.
ది ఐ విచ్ సీస్ ది ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ సీన్ ఆర్ బోత్ ఇంపర్మనెంట్.
ఈ చర్మ చిచ్చువులు కేవలం మానవులకు మాత్రమే కాదు.
ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ది మ్యాన్ అలోన్ హూ హ్యాస్ దిస్ ఫిజికల్ ఐ.
పశు పక్షి మృగాదులకు క్రిమి కీటకాదులకు ఈ యొక్క నేత్రములు ఉంటున్నవి.
Birds, beasts and animals, worms and all the other type of living beings have their eyes.
దీని యొక్క విశేషం ఏమిటి?
What is the speciality of the man's eyes alone?
Oh, you cut it there. I was waiting to hear what is the speciality of human eyes.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait for the next clip for that.
This is becoming, you know, it's building up the suspense. We like to know what it is. But Swami starts off with this beautiful, you know, his voice is so loving and with so much of patience and so forgiving. He says, the world you live in is impermanent. when I hear that statement, it is so loving and so, you know, genuine. At the same time, it rings with truth. You know, it really so suffused and filled with truth.
Right. Yeah, that's what we were actually discussing this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, if you read one scripture or one book on Advaita,
mm-hmm.
and you bombard yourself with this idea that everything is unreal, pain is unreal, suffering mm-hmm. is unreal,
mm-hmm.
how difficult it becomes to relate to another person's pain.
Okay.
I mean, you kind of have that momentary vairagya at least. When you see somebody's pain, you feel that, oh, after all, pain will go away. But here was Swami who always remained in that state. But when we went to him with our pain, he still had that sympathy. You know, he still had that compassion. He still felt bad for us. At least, you know, he related to the pain. He would come down to that level, console us.
That's what I think. Again, there it comes. Love without duty is divine.
Right.
Absolutely, you know, because his every response is with love. Every response is with love. You know, here Swami is telling about the impermanence of life and wife and children coming in between and joining. So actually there is a very, very big story that Swami has earlier narrated in this context.
Okay.
Basically, this is from the Bhajagovindam series that Swami gave in the year 1973,
right,
the Samakos series. And there is a sloka in Bhajagovindam, I think about the 8th sloka. It says, Kate Kanta Kaste Putra. So he says, who is the wife,
who is the child?
So Swami took that shloka in that discourse and he was elaborating on it. And then here comes the story. Now I don't know from where this story is sourced, but Swami narrates this story, which kind of amplifies the impermanence of. So he says there's a prince and a prince is going in the forest. And then suddenly he loses track and then he goes into an ashram. And he's thirsty, he wants some water.
Okay.
But the ashram people try to come forward and offer him water and fruits. Then he says, I want to meet the head of this ashram. So they take him to the sage. There's a sage. And the sage asks him, where are you? Who are you? Where do you come from? I see you're the prince. Which kingdom do you belong to? And he says, I am from the kingdom of Jitendriya.
Okay.
He says, I am from the kingdom of Jitendriya. Who is your father? Who is your thing? He says, all are Jitendriyas. He says, is that, how can that be?
Jitendriya means the one who won over the senses.
Exactly. So the one who has controlled his senses, I am Jitendriya. Then this sage is taken aback. He says, how is it possible that a king and a prince, how are they Jitendriyas? He says, yeah, all are Jitendriyas. Then he says, see, you do one thing. You give me your clothes. He gives him his saffron robes. He says, you wear this and you be here in my ashram. I want to go and verify whether everybody there is Jitendriya. I want to test it out. So he says, jolly well. He is really unperturbed by it. He takes the ochre robes, he wears it and he is sitting in the ashram while the sannyasi wears yellow robes and he takes the prince's clothes and then goes to the kingdom. Now, at the entrance, there are guards and he says, there's something very, very sad that has happened. I have to meet the king. The guards ask, okay, if you have to meet the king and you look like a respectable person, you are a sage, a sannyasi. And in fact, in the discourse, Swami calls him Swami. So this Swami with this princess clothes goes inside. And he first meets the prime minister, who asks him, what is it? And he says, you see, a tiger came and killed the prince. And you see, there are blood stains on his clothes. This sannyasi has put some red spots on his clothes. And says, see, there are blood stains. The prime minister smiles and he says, is that right? But the whole scene is very funny that a sannyasi is grieving over the death of a prince. He says this the scene is funny. Anyway, you want to meet the king, you can go and meet him. He says, the prime minister is least perturbed about this. This sounds very strange. So he says, anyway, the father is going to be really worried about it. So he goes to the king. And the king says, he shows him this clothes of the prince and he says, you see, there are blood stains all around. And I'm very sorry, your son has been killed. And he starts crying. Then the king says, see, do you know what happens at night, in the evening time? There are birds, different kinds of birds come and sit on a tree. They take rest in the night. And morning, each one finds his own way and the birds fly away. This world is like the tree. The prince came and stayed with us so far. And like a bird that flies away in the morning, he flew his own way. That's it. This fellow is totally shocked, the sannyasi. And he says, maybe the king is, I don't know how stable he is, but definitely the mother is going to be. I am going to go and speak to the mother. So then he goes to the mother. And he tells the same story and he says, see, the prince is really gone and I don't know what to do. And he starts crying. Then the mother starts laughing. Mother starts laughing. He says, what is happening to her? And she says, it's like a chowl tree. This whole world is like a chowl tree. Many people come. Different people come. They take rest at night. And in the morning, they find their own way and they go back. So you cannot say, I know this person. You can. All these relationships are very, very transient, temporary and transient. Then he says, this must be his stepmother. I don't think it is his mother. Otherwise, she can't speak like this. Something is wrong with this lady. So, I will go to the wife. Ultimately, you know, the wife is the one who must be most attached to this person. So, as I was reading, I realized that the wife gave the best answer. So, he goes to the wife anyways and he says, he gives a little more build up. He says, see, you know, you are going to be a widow. You are a widow now. And it's so sad at this young age you have to lead this life and this and that. And then he says, your husband has been killed. Then she started laughing. He says, my God, what is she going to say? Then she says that this world, it's like a forest. And the twigs, the branches, once they dry up, they fall down. And there is this river of life flowing.
Mm-hmm.
So you have one branch coming from one forest, another branch coming from another forest. Okay. But when they come and flow on this river of life, they are together for a certain amount of time. So he says the wife and husband are like the two twigs, like the two branches flowing in this river of life. He says they come from different families, they come from different backgrounds, that is the different forests. But when they flow in the river of life, they are together for a certain amount of time. Then they also part and go away. But ultimately the river leads to the ocean of bliss. That is where everybody is equal, all are one. This man is totally confused, this sannyasi. Then he says, oh my God, even the wife is truly a Jitendriya. Then he goes back and he tells the prince, you know, an enemy has attacked your kingdom. And the whole kingdom is in ruins. And you have to rush back. You have to save the kingdom. You have to do this. And then the prince has a hearty laugh. And he says, who is king? Who is kingdom bearers? Anybody? There is only Atman. Everything is only Atma. This is all just an illusionary Maya world. Then I think the sannyasi actually becomes a sannyasi after that. So Swami quotes this beautiful story. And he says, it's true. He says, everything is just transient. To bring that, drive home that point, Swami gives this elaborate story. So that's what he's saying here even. He says, who is wife, who is children, everybody come and they leave.
Right. But I don't know, I find this a little surprising when Swami says, dharma and kirti alone is permanent.
Correct.
To an extent I can understand dharma being permanent and righteousness being permanent, but why fame? Why does Swami give so much importance to fame? That is, I'm not having much clarity on that.
So I would, even when Swami was singing that, it came to my mind. But what I thought was, the body as such is given to you to perform its duty. And anybody who performs his duty without having attachment to the body, which is the ideal way of life. Now, for example, if you take Satya Harishchandra, he stuck to truth and righteousness. He didn't bother about his body, about his family, and in the true spirit in which it has to be adhered to. Then what happened? His name stays on forever as a guiding light. So his name of... This is an example of a person who led his life, and you can also lead your life in such a way. So that is what is fame, that is what is kirti, and that is what will inspire generations to come. I suppose that's the reason why he says dharma and kirti is the only one.
Yeah, I think quite similar to what Swami says in Prema Vahini also, right?
Yeah.
Where he narrates, he mentions a few names of saints and sages and great men.
Correct.
And he says, these are men of name and fame, of everlasting name and fame. And then Swami adds a caveat. He says that not of the society in which you are living.
No, he says
not kind of societies where
exactly.
you are living, which does not give importance to
correct
values which have to be given importance to.
No, he says, like that, right? He says the gunam or the character of people that is remembered for it survives even death and it's remembered forever. Then he asks, you may ask a question, are all the people who are famous today, are they men and women of character? But I am not talking of the society that deals with these qualities. I am talking of the society that gives importance to the qualities of people which are connected with the eternal Atman. So basically he is saying that people who have led their lives with the firm belief that I am the Atman, and they have gone beyond this body consciousness, their name and fame will live on forever and continue to inspire.
Right.
That's what
so I think definitely Swami must be referring to something like that here also, fame, when he says fame
right.
is eternal. Because on many occasions Swami says that don't do for what people think. I mean, the name that people give you or
correct.
The respect which people give you.
Mm.
So that is why I was saying dharma and kirti seems to be a little an odd combination.
That's true. But I think the true fame is for people who don't think that they are famous.
Right.
The act of being righteous, the act of going beyond the body consciousness stands out as an ideal example for others. That's it.
And then Swami speaks about this believing whatever your physical eye
correct.
Tells you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to say that even animals see, even birds see.
Correct.
It's very interesting because very often, you know, if you see these National Geographic or some of these Animal Planet kind of channels, they'll give you a view of how it appears to see from the, you know, from the point of view of a snake or from the point of view of
correct.
A rodent or from the point of view of an insect.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite different from what we see.
Correct.
And they say that, you know, the eye as an organ is not as developed as in the human beings.
Mm.
It cannot see the depth. It cannot see certain spectrum. There are some animals which cannot see certain colors.
Mm.
If you look at it that way, maybe there is so much more to sight than what humans can see with their physical eyes.
Correct.
And we go so much by what we see. We go so much by what we hear.
Mm.
I think that is what Swami is referring to, that don't go by just all these things, because there might be much, much more than what meets the eye.
Very true. And if you just think of something like a mirage, for example.
Right.
You see it. You see a mirage. You think there is a lot of water, but your eye is just deceiving you.
Right.
So he is just saying, just now you replace that mirage with this entire creation and think this entire creation is not true.
Right.
That's where we have to reach ultimately.
And most of what science has done is that.
Mm.
Like what was accepted just by what was appearing to the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And today we are, you know, blasting all those myths away.
Okay.
So many, we are able to give explanations, chemical reactions which are leading to this.
Mm.
You know, there were some things which were spoken of as haunted lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're saying that no, it is actually an acidic reaction which is happening, which is creating this thing.
Okay.
And this phosphorus content is more. I mean, we are able to explain things which we couldn't explain before, which only shows that even now what we explain might not be complete.
That's true.
And I think that's why Swami says that Vidya Dadati Vinayam. The more you learn, the more, you know, humbled you should feel.
True. And so then Swami says, all birds and beasts, everybody has this charma chakshu, that is the physical eye. But we have to find out what is unique about man's eye.
What is unique about man's eye? That's where Swami stops.
Yeah.
So should we go to that?
I think we should.
Manavulaku charma chakshulu unnavi. Krimi kitikadulaku charma chakshulu unnavi. Pachapachi mrugadulaku charma chakshulu unnavi. Kani manavuni yokka visishtata emiti?
Man has eyes. Birds, beasts and animals and worms also have eyes.
Nijamuga gnana chachulni taanu abhruti parichukonakundina ee chatma chachulu undi kevalam pasi pachi mrugadulato samanam ane anipistundi.
If man does not have the eye of wisdom, the physical eye alone is no way better than the other animals and birds and beasts.
Manava jeevitam amulyamainatundi.
Human life is extremely precious.
Arthavantamainatundi.
It is full of meaning.
Anubhavinchadaginatundi.
It is a life meant for enjoying.
Itti pavitramanti yokka manava jeevitamunu sarthakamu gavinchukonavalenanna atma jnanamu atyavasaramu.
It is essential to have knowledge of atma if you really want to sanctify such a sacred human life.
Andulane jantunam narajalma dullapam కానీ దుర్లభమే. అయితే జ్ఞానైన శూన్య పశుభి సమాన, జ్ఞానమే లేకుండా పశువుతో సమానమే.
ఇట్ ఈస్ సెడ్ దట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ రేర్ టు గెట్ ఎ హ్యూమన్ లైఫ్ అమంగ్ ఆల్ లివింగ్ బీయింగ్స్, బట్ ఇఫ్ వన్ డస్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ విజ్డమ్ అండ్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఈజ్ నో బెటర్ దాన్ ఎన్ యానిమల్.
ఈ చర్మచక్షువులు కేవలము బాహ్యమైన స్థూలమైన జగత్తును చూడగలుగుతున్నదే కాని సూక్ష్మమైన దివ్యత్వాన్ని గుర్తించుటకు ఇది సాధ్యం కాదు.
ఫిజికల్ ఐస్ కెన్ హ్యావ్ ఎ లుక్ ఇన్ టు ది ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్ అండ్ ద గ్రాస్ వరల్డ్, బట్ ఇట్ కెనాట్ లుక్ ఇన్ టు ది సటిల్ డివినిటీ.
ఎవరి నేత్రమును వారే చూడలేరు, ఎవరి నేత్రము వారినే చూడలేదు.
ఈచ్ వన్స్ ఐస్ కెనాట్ సీ హిజ్ ఓన్ ఐస్.
మీ నేత్రమును మీరు చూడగలుగుతున్నారా?
హ్యావ్ యూ బీన్ ఏబుల్ టు సీ యువర్ ఓన్ ఐస్?
లేదు.
నో.
ఏదో ఒక ఆధారమును పురస్కరించుకుని మీ నేత్రమును మీరు చూడగలుగుతున్నారు.
యూ కెన్ సీ యువర్ ఓన్ ఐస్ ఓన్లీ ఆన్ ద బేసిస్ ఆఫ్ అనదర్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్.
ఆధారమే లేకుండా తన నేత్రమునే తాను చూడలేకపోతున్నాడు మానవుడు.
ఇఫ్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో అదర్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ హెల్ప్ యు ఆర్ నాట్ ఏబుల్ టు సీ యువర్ ఓన్ ఐస్.
ఈ స్థూలమైనటువంటి నేత్రము స్థూల దేహమునే గుర్తించలేకపోయినప్పుడు సూక్ష్మమైనటువంటి మనసును ఏ రీతిగా గుర్తించగలదు?
ఇఫ్ దిస్ ఫిజికల్ ఐ కెనాట్ సీ ది గ్రాస్ ఫిజికల్ ఐ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్, హౌ కెన్ ఇట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ది సటిల్ మైండ్?
ఈ సూక్ష్మమైనటువంటి యొక్క మనసునే గుర్తించలేనటువంటి నేత్రములు అత్యంత సూక్ష్మమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఆత్మతత్వాన్ని ఏ రీతిగా గుర్తించగలదు?
దీస్ ఐస్ విచ్ కెనాట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ది సటిల్ మైండ్, హౌ కెన్ ది అండర్స్టాండ్ మోర్ సటిల్ ఆత్మ?
కనుక చర్మచక్షువులు అనేటువంటిది కేవలము సహజమైనటువంటి యొక్క జీవితానికి దృశ్యకల్పితమైనటువంటి యొక్క జగత్తును చూపించడం మాత్రమే.
ఫిజికల్ ఐస్ కెన్ షో యూ ఓన్లీ ది ఫిజికల్ గ్రాస్ వరల్డ్.
జ్ఞాన నేత్రము ప్రతి మానవులకు అత్యవసరము.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎసెన్షియల్ దట్ ఎవ్రీ మ్యాన్ షుడ్ హ్యావ్ ఎన్ ఐ ఆఫ్ విజ్డమ్.
జ్ఞాన నేత్రమన్నా దివ్య నేత్రమన్నా ఆత్మనేత్రమన్నా బ్రహ్మనేత్రమన్నా ఇవన్నీ కూడాను ఒకదానికొకటి పర్యాయ పదములు మాత్రమే.
వెదర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ది ఐ ఆఫ్ విజ్డమ్, ఐ డివైన్ ఐ, ఐ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ ఆర్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఐ, ఇట్ ఈస్ వన్ అండ్ ద సేమ్, దే ఆర్ ఆల్ సినోనిమ్స్.
కనుక సర్వం బ్రహ్మం అనేటువంటి భావాన్ని మనము విశ్వసించినప్పుడే జగత్ అంతయు కూడాను బ్రహ్మభావంతో రూపొందుతుంది.
ఓన్లీ వెన్ యూ ఫర్మ్లీ బిలీవ్ దట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ బ్రహ్మ, ద ఎంటైర్ క్రియేషన్ బికమ్స్ బ్రహ్మ ఫర్ యూ.
ఎట్టి భావము అట్టి దృశ్యము.
యువర్ విజన్ డిపెండ్స్ అపాన్ యువర్ పర్స్పెక్టివ్.
ఎట్టి రంగు అట్టి ప్రకృతి.
విత్ వాట్ ఎవర్ కలర్ ఐస్ యు సీ, ది క్రియేషన్ అపియర్స్ ఇన్ దట్ కలర్ అలోన్.
దృష్టిని జ్ఞానమయముగా మార్చుకున్నప్పుడే సృష్టి బ్రహ్మమయంగా రూపొందుతుంది.
ఇఫ్ యూ కన్వర్ట్ యువర్ విజన్ ఇన్ టు విజ్డమ్ విజన్, దెన్ ది ఎంటైర్ క్రియేషన్ బికమ్స్ బ్రహ్మ.
మన చర్మ చక్షువులకు ఏ రంగైన అద్దాలు మనం ధరిస్తామో ప్రకృతి అంతా కూడా అదే రంగంతో అదే రంగుతోనే మనకు కనిపిస్తుంది.
వాట్ ఎవర్ కలర్ గ్లాసెస్ యు వేర్ ది ఎంటైర్ వరల్డ్ అపియర్స్ విత్ ది సేమ్ కలర్.
కనుకనే యద్దృశ్యం తన్నస్యం, కనిపించేటువంటిది అన్ని కూడాను మార్పు చెందినవి.
దేర్ఫోర్ ఆల్ దట్ యు సీ అండర్గోస్ ఏ చేంజ్.
కనుక మార్పు చెందినటువంటి యొక్క ఈ దృశ్యములకు మార్పు చెందనటువంటి యొక్క స్థిరత్వం అనేటువంటి యొక్క బ్రహ్మత్వం ఆధారమై ఉంటున్నది.
ది అన్చేంజింగ్ బ్రహ్మ ఈజ్ ద బేసిస్ ఆఫ్ ద చేంజింగ్ వరల్డ్.
మనము కారులో ప్రయాణమవుతున్నాం,
వీఆర్ ట్రావెలింగ్ ఇన్ ఎ కార్,
లేక బస్సులో ప్రయాణమైపోతున్నాం,
మేబీ ఇన్ ఎ బస్.
కానీ బస్సు కారు కదులుతుండాలి.
బస్ ఆర్ ద కార్ దే ఆర్ మూవింగ్.
రోడ్డు కదలటం లేదు కదా.
రోడ్ డస్ నాట్ మూవ్.
కదలనటువంటి రోడ్డును ఆధారం చేసుకుని కదిలేటువంటి యొక్క బస్సు కారులు ప్రయాణం సలుపుతున్నాయి.
బస్ ఆర్ ద కార్ కెన్ మూవ్ అండ్ ట్రావెల్ ఓన్లీ ఆన్ ది బేసిస్ ఆఫ్ ఎ రోడ్ విచ్ ఇస్ నాట్ మూవింగ్, విచ్ ఇస్ పర్మనెంట్.
కనుక కదిలేటువంటి యొక్క ఈ జగత్తుకు, మార్పు చెందేటువంటి ఈ జగత్తుకు, కదలనటువంటిది మార్పు చెందనటువంటి యొక్క దివ్యత్వం ఒకటి ఆధారమై ఉంటున్నాడు.
ఫర్ ది వరల్డ్ విచ్ ఈస్ మూవింగ్ అండ్ విచ్ ఈస్ చేంజింగ్, దేర్ ఈస్ ది డివైన్ ఆత్మ విచ్ ఈస్ ది వెరీ బేసిస్ విచ్ ఈస్ పర్మనెంట్.
అట్టి ఆత్మతత్వాన్ని మనం మొట్టమొదట గుర్తించుకుంటేనే ఈ జగత్తు యొక్క రహస్యమంతా కూడాను మనకు సులభంగా అర్థమవుతుంది.
వన్స్ యూ రియలైజ్ సచ్ బేసిక్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ, ద ఎంటైర్ వరల్డ్ బికమ్స్
ఈ జగత్భావం అర్థం కాకుండా పోవడానికి మూల కారణము మన మనస్సే.
ద రీజన్ ఫర్ యువర్ నాట్ బీయింగ్ ఏబుల్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ది వరల్డ్ ఈజ్ యువర్ ఓన్ మైండ్.
మనస్సు ప్రవృత్తి యొక్క లక్షణం.
మైండ్ హ్యాస్ ఎ టెండెన్సీ ఆఫ్ ప్రవృత్తి.
ఈ దృశ్యమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఈ వస్తువాహనం యందు రాత్రి పగలు కూడాను మన జీవితం వ్యర్థం గావించుకుంటున్నాం.
వీఆర్ వేస్టింగ్ అవర్ ఎంటైర్ లైఫ్ ఇన్ ఇండల్జింగ్ ఇన్ వేరియస్ యాక్టివిటీస్ ఇన్ దిస్ క్రియేటెడ్ వరల్డ్.
దీని నిమిత్తమై మన జన్మము ధరించినామా?
హౌ వి గాట్ దిస్ బర్త్ ఫర్ ది సేక్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఇండల్జెన్స్?
కాదు కాదు కాదు,
సర్టన్లీ నాట్.
బ్రహ్మ సత్యాన్ని గుర్తించాలి.
టు రికగ్నైజ్ దట్ బ్రహ్మ అలోన్ ఇస్ ట్రూత్, వి హావ్ గాట్ ది లైఫ్.
దీనిని గుర్తించాలనుకున్నప్పుడు బ్రహ్మతత్వాన్ని మనము చింతించాలి.
ఇఫ్ యూ షుడ్ రియలైజ్ దిస్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మ, యూ షుడ్ థింక్,
దీనిని తెలుసుకునేందుకు ప్రయత్నించాలి.
షుడ్ మేక్ ఎఫర్ట్స్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ఇట్,
దీన్ని చూడడానికి ప్రయత్నించాలి.
యూ షుడ్ ట్రై టు సీ అండ్ గెట్ ఎ విజన్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్,
దీనితో సంభాషించడానికి ప్రయత్నించాలి.
యూ షుడ్ ట్రై టు హ్యావ్ ఎ డైలాగ్ విత్ ఇట్.
అది నిజమైనటువంటి రిలీజన్.
దాట్ ఈస్ ఎ ట్రూ హ్యూమన్ లైఫ్.
Man must realize God, feel God, see God, talk to God. This is religion.
Man must
kanuka manavudu mottamota gurtinchavalsinatundi daivatvanni. Man must realize God. Dalini telusukonakunda ennintini telusukunnappatikini ఇది ప్రయోజనము లేదు.
వితౌట్ రియలైజింగ్ గాడ్, వాట్ ఎవర్ అదర్ థింగ్స్ యూ ట్రై టు రియలైజ్, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆల్ ఎ వేస్ట్.
కాంట్ హెల్ప్ బట్ వండర్ దట్ దిస్ ఇస్ బీయింగ్ దిస్ ఇస్ ద డిస్కోర్స్ విచ్ ఇస్ బీయింగ్ డెలివర్డ్ టు స్టూడెంట్స్ హు ఆర్ ఎంటరింగ్ ద న్యూ అకాడమిక్ ఇయర్. స్వామి సేయింగ్ దట్ మ్యాన్ మస్ట్ రియలైజ్ గాడ్, మ్యాన్ మస్ట్ నో గాడ్, మ్యాన్ మస్ట్.
వాట్ అ పవర్ఫుల్ వే ఆఫ్ పుట్టింగ్ ఇట్.
Right.
And you know something, as Swami was saying that, yes, you must see God, you must feel God, you must talk to God. I mean, so much of importance Swami has given to speaking to God. In that song also Swami says, Rama Nato Matladu. And I think it just came to my mind that when you are talking, you are actually focused on what you are talking. Your mind is focused. So, in a way, chanting the name of God, that is Namasmarana, or talking to God, your entire mind gets focused on that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's possibly the reason why talking is also given that much importance.
Now, there is this little book, I don't know if you've read, called Sai Darshan.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be messages inspired by Swami.
Okay.
A devotee in US has noted down some of these messages as it used to occur to her, and mm-hmm. Swami has acknowledged that those were Swami's wisdom coming through her.
Okay.
And that one of the messages she writes, mm-hmm. when Swami says that
mm-hmm.
about talking to God, no?
Mm-hmm.
He says, keep calling God. Mm-hmm. You have God's phone number with you.
Mm-hmm.
Swami says, keep calling God.
Mm-hmm.
You might not see him picking up the call,
mm-hmm.
but don't stop calling him. Swami mm-hmm. says, keep calling God. One fine day, suddenly you'll see God picking up your call mm-hmm. and saying, I love you too. You know, very beautiful message, because Swami mm-hmm. is giving the confirmation and giving the mm-hmm. promise that one day God will respond and God will tell, I love you too.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that God loves you
mm-hmm.
and also giving you the confirmation that you have also loved God.
Correct.
Saying that I love you too.
Mm.
And I think on another occasion, Swami saying that phone number is Om, Swami used to say.
Okay. In the sense, because Om just leaves you with that vibration, right, with that sound, and that connects you automatically. Because just as an experiment, I have tried it. When you try to sit silently, and you are not trying, you are trying not to have your mind focus on anything. The first thing that happens is your mind automatically concentrates on the breath.
Okay.
When you just try to sit without a thought, when you try just to, you know, remove all thoughts, the first thing that happens, at least to me when I was trying it out, the first thing that happens is your attention goes to the breath, because that is something that is going on. And Swami says, soham, soham. And if you try to go beyond the breath, which I have not tried, I presume that you will go to that state of that vibration, that that vibration of Omkara, which is more or less, Swami says in, I think, one of the previous discourses, that is what will lead you to that Turiya state.
The clip starting, Swami again goes on with that, the difference between man's vision and bird and the beast's vision.
Correct.
Which is very beautiful, you know. Sometime back I had read one of the works in Sanskrit by a saint, Benin Vidyaranya. A very beautiful work called Drig Drishya Viveka.
Okay.
It says Drig means that which sees. Drishya is the sight, that which is seen. And Viveka actually means is separate.
Okay.
We usually relate Viveka with discrimination. The Sanskrit word Viveka actually means separating one from the other. So the pretext of this whole text is that which sees and that which is seen are separate.
Okay.
Okay. And he starts by saying that all the forms that you see is the drishya. That which sees is the eye. And the only thing the eye cannot see is itself.
Correct.
So he says the eye and that which the eye sees are separate.
Okay.
Okay. And then he goes on to say that sometimes you feel the eye is clear. Sometimes you feel the eye is blurred. The image you see is blurred.
Correct.
Sometimes you feel the eye is closed. The eye is opened. What sees the state of the eye? So he says the mind sees the state of the eye. So again he says Drig Drishya Viveka. Now the mind becomes the Drig. These eyes become the drishya.
Correct.
So he says the mind and the senses are separate.
Okay, beautiful.
Okay. And then he says that one fine day you feel that I'm feeling very peaceful. One fine day you feel I'm feeling agitated. So he says there is something which is seeing the state of the mind. So he's saying that which sees is actually the sakshi.
Wow.
The eternal witness. And he says that is different from the mind. You know, very beautifully they
scientific,
that,
very
right?
Scientific.
Very scientific. And says, and that is what you are. And clearly saying, and even here Swami says, the eye cannot see itself. You know, you cannot see the back of your head. And that's why he says the mind can never look back, cannot look at that sakshi. The mind cannot even unravel itself.
Correct.
It can only see what it is not. You know, it can only look at the eye, look at the vision around. Only the sakshi has the ability to go within.
Correct. Amazing, amazing.
You know, Swami says here that that is what differentiates. And Swami is saying that once you see from the point of view of that wisdom, everything changes. Everything, you know, typically a child, the way it would see an object with that curiosity and with that excitement, the same object we will be seeing, we will not have that excitement. You know, the sight is the same. The organ which sees is the same. Then what is making the difference? So Swami is saying that that which makes the difference, there you bring in the wisdom.
Correct.
Then what you see will be only wisdom.
No, if you think of it that way, even animals and birds, are they able to appreciate the beauty of nature? It doesn't mean anything to them. I mean, they are so driven by nature. Yes, an animal sees, either it sees its prey or it sees its predator. Either it has to run or it has to pounce. Okay. On one level, and or it for reproduction and procreation, it sees. So the eyes of an animal is driven by nature's forces.
Right.
And what does it mean? I mean, if It's not going to matter whether there's a beautiful waterfalls next to it, and it's not going to enjoy the beauty of creation, because in that sense the mind's scope is very limited in an animal. But man is able to see and appreciate. So his appreciation grows, and then he is given the wisdom to go beyond. And that's why he says that Jnana Chakshu.
That's what even Swami says in a verse, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I created this world.
Mm.
There was nobody to appreciate it.
There was no one to know who
No
I am.
One to know who I am, and nobody to really enjoy it.
Mm.
And so I give, I've created man and given the powers. And Swami is saying here,
created man in my own image.
In my own image. And Swami says that here, no? When he says that this human life is invaluable, it's purposeful, you know, so beautiful. Swami says there is a
amulyam,
reason.
Amulyam.
Amulyam is, I think, precious, right?
Precious, yes.
And then he says that there is a purpose in it, and it is worth experiencing and enjoying.
Yeah, it's meant for enjoying.
Right. Swami is saying it has been given to you, but again, going back from the first few discourses, Swami says, but you don't know how to use it. You wear your waist outside your shirt.
Correct, correct.
Say, yes, it is meant to be used. Which is use it in the right manner.
Correct. And this whole thing about, he says, the when the eye cannot see itself, how can it see the mind,
right,
which is subtler than that? And if it cannot see the mind, how can it see the Atman, which is the subtlest of all?
I think that is the starting point which differentiates science from, you know, religion, I mean spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
If you see Vedanta, when you go out to study the Brahman or the ultimate, the first thing you're told is your mind cannot reach it.
Correct.
Your reasoning cannot reach it. Your logic cannot reach it. And now you go and find it, look for it. But science always believes that if you have not understood anything, it is just that you have not tried to understand it completely, and eventually you will be able to understand it.
So it's being limited by the mind.
Right.
Hmm.
But here you're saying that you cannot understand by your mind. So it's a different body.
And then Swami brings out this thing that everything is Brahman, whatever you see. And this beautiful analogy of the car and the bus going on the road. He says the road is always there. That is the basis on which vehicles go. So that road is Brahman.
In fact, quite similar to the dialogue which Janaka has after that dream.
Okay.
And he says, which is real? The dream is real or this? Real, is this the dream? So he says, you who's common in all these three, you're the real one.
Correct.
That similar to, you know, what is the basis? What is that non-changing thing? That permanency of the reality is what Swami refers to here. That changes because everything that you see is changing. You know, some things might change in 5 seconds, something might change in 5 minutes, something might change in 500 years, but it's still changing.
So, you know, it's a beautiful thing where, similar to one of these explanations Nisargadatta Maharaj says in his book, he says there is light. What is it that gives value to that light? It is that immense darkness which gives value to that light. That immense darkness is what is giving value. The expression is from that immense darkness, that immense nothingness which has that immense potential, that is the Atman. So it's so amazing. He says whatever is manifested, it is manifested and seen because there is an immense nothingness on the basis of which it exists. So that is what Brahman is.
Right. I'm just reminded of a quote which I read long back, you know, where he says, all the darkness in the world cannot put off the light of one candle.
That's true.
You know, you can have immense darkness, but that light of that candle will always remain there. Similarly, you can have immense ignorance all around you. That's what Swami says. Once it is known, it is never taken away from you.
That's
you
true.
Can never lose that knowledge once it is attained. That's what Swami says here. Once you see that that wisdom comes in you and see Brahman and everything, your vision will not go back to that charma chakshu. Once that jnana chakshu is attained.
That's true. I think in this discourse, in the next tip, or maybe in the next week when we come to it, Swami actually says, he gives a way of going about this.
Okay.
What you just mentioned,
okay,
he gives a way of going about it. I think we'll leave that.
So definitely, so that's a small teaser to all our listeners. And by the way, dear listeners, we are coming to the end of this program. We'll continue this discourse next week. As we've seen, the first part of this discourse is definitely an interesting discourse, like all the discourses we've seen in the series. So we do hope you'll join us again next week, 7:30 p.m. on Thursday. This is Prem from Team Radio Sai with Sai Prakash. We offer this humble effort of ours at Swami's Lotus Feet. Bishu's here to take you through the last segment of the day outside, inside, deep inside. Thank you for being with us. Jai Sai Ram.